Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zemer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Deb Biggins, one of our newest worship associates, our director of religious education, Karen Lapidus, our music director, Hal Walker, and many fine musicians from the musical groups here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent who have prepared some lovely celebratory music to share with you today.
I love Jesus, who said to us, "Heaven and earth will pass away. When heaven and earth have passed away, my word will still remain." What word? Jesus. Love, forgiveness, affection, all your words, all your one word, wake up.
So there he was, just tending his sheep, minding his own business, when Moses heard God call to him. God spoke to Moses to tell him that he had work to do. God wanted Moses to lead the Hebrew people out of slavery and into freedom. Moses was shocked by all that he was seeing and hearing. Why him? What if the people wouldn't listen to him? Who should he say was sending him? What if they still wouldn't listen? What if he couldn't find the right words? Couldn't God find somebody who was better suited to the task? The story tells of a revelation Moses received from God. Try to put yourself in Moses' shoes for just a minute. Imagine what it would be like if you were just out one day walking the dogs and suddenly a tree burst into flames before you, but it wasn't burning up and you heard God calling you, your name, saying, "I have work for you to do in this world." Do you think you might be like Moses? Me? Are you sure? Isn't there somebody else better suited to the task? But God says, no, it's you that I'm calling. It is you who I need to do my work in this world. Now go and do it, and I will be with you. Imagine just for a moment that that happened to you. How would you find the courage to take the first step? This time in our service is a time for reflection and spiritual practice together. It's a time when we keep a few moments of silence, and that might not be something that some of you have a lot of practice with, and so I'd like to offer you some suggestions if this isn't something that you do frequently. If you're holding things, you might put them down and open your hands in your lap. That can help you. Opening your hands can help you open your ears. And you might try to be as comfortable as you can to sit with your grown-up or to put your feet on the floor and notice your breathing. You're always breathing, but when you're listening is a time when you can notice your breathing. And as you notice your breathing, you might just rest there and count your breaths. Count them as you breathe in or count them as you breathe out. Or you might consider this question. If God called you to do God's work in the world, how would you find the courage to take the first step? Or you might have a prayer on your heart that you wish to say silently. And any of those things are good things to do as we rest together in a few moments of silence. And I invite you to join with me now in the spirit of prayer with a prayer that has some movements. And so if you're comfortable participating, I invite you to begin with your hands in a prayer position and then follow me as we move through the prayer. We thank you, God, for most this amazing day. Let us lift our hearts, rejoice, and be glad in it. For this is enough. Life is enough. Love is enough. You are enough. We are enough. In fact, we have so much we can't help but share. Because we know not everybody has enough. There are people suffering, hungry, homeless, hurting, people in trouble, not knowing where to turn. And together, we have enough to share. God's work in this world happens by the hands of human beings. May we be your hands, helping to bless this world. Amen. This next story is from one of the Gospels, the Gospel according to Mark. And if you are wanting to check it out in a Bible, there's a typo in the order of service. The passage that it comes from is actually Mark 14, not 13. And the story tells of a very tender moment in Jesus' ministry, a moment where he felt a deep tenderness in his own heart as he prepared to face his future. So the story takes place in the evening, right after Jesus and his disciples had celebrated the Passover meal, and they had gone on a walk to the Garden of Gethsemane on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. And at the end of the story, we hear that Jesus say that the time he has been praying about has arrived. The people who will arrest him and lead him to his trial and crucifixion have come for him.
After singing a song at the Passover meal, Jesus and his disciples went to the garden called Gethsemane. It was getting to be quite late in the evening, so everyone was whispering. Jesus was especially quiet and walked a bit ahead of the rest of the group. He looked as if he was sad and upset about something. He stopped and whispered to some of his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Then with Peter, James, and John, he walked just a little bit further and told them, "My heart feels heavy, and I feel very sad. Please stay here and keep watch. I need some company close by." The disciples looked at each other. They had never seen Jesus like this before. Then Jesus walked a bit further by himself. Next to a big tree, he knelt down with his face to the ground and began to talk to God. He prayed, "My Father, I know that I am about to go through some horrible things. I wish I wouldn't have to. But it doesn't matter what I want. I will do whatever you want." When he had finished praying, he went back to where the disciples were and where they had fallen asleep on the ground. Jesus woke them and said to them, "Couldn't you have stayed awake for me just a little while? You should also pray that you would continue to do what God wants." The disciples felt bad and tried to keep their eyes open. But when they started praying, they fell asleep. Two more times, Jesus went off to pray the same prayer as before. And when he was finished, he came back to his friends, disappointed. They had fallen asleep again. The third time, Jesus woke them, saying, "Are you sleeping again? Enough. It is time to go. Here comes the man who is about to give me up to people who want to hurt me."
The Bible tells us that Jesus knew what was going to happen next. His destiny had been revealed to him by God, and he would teach the people while he was alive on earth. He would teach them about God's love for everyone, including the poor and troubled and troubling people of this world. He would teach the people about God's love for justice, and he would teach the people about the ways that they could start working to create the kingdom of God here on earth. He would teach his disciples how to carry on his teachings when he was no longer with them, because he knew that his time on earth was limited. Jesus knew his destiny. He knew that he would be betrayed and sentenced to death on a cross before he was resurrected. And he understood that destiny as part of God's will. That is difficult for me to understand. And it might be difficult for some of you to understand, too. Why did Jesus believe that God wanted him to suffer and die on a cross? And if it's true that's what God wanted, what does that mean about God? These are hard, hard questions with no easy answers. There are some people who think that Jesus' suffering was part of God's plan for all of our salvation. And there are some people who think that the story of the resurrection isn't meant to be understood as a literal story, but rather as a metaphorical story, more like poetry, and that we can take lessons from it that way. And there are some people who think that the story of the resurrection didn't actually happen, but was something that the disciples told one another in order to make sense, to make meaning of the death of their beloved teacher. And I would bet that if I asked you to raise your hand, that we would see that there are people in this room today who believe all of those things about this story. And the truth is that none of us knows for sure what happened. We know what we think happened, and we know what it means to us. And our work is to be faithful to our own understanding, even as we try to understand the point of view of someone who sees it differently from us. We chose this story to share with you today because it reveals to us something really important about Jesus, and that is that Jesus struggled with his own story. Even Jesus, who was so deeply committed to God and his understanding of God's revelation, even Jesus hesitated. He prayed that if it were possible, the moment might pass from him. He prayed that God might take that bitter cup away. But then he remembered himself and he remembered his commitments and he prayed that God's will be done. Now, a little while ago, I asked you to imagine putting yourself in Moses' shoes, and that's hard. And this is hard too. I want to ask you to put yourself in similar shoes. Encourage you to try to imagine a moment in which you faced doubt. A moment in which you knew in your heart that you were committed to some vision, some revelation of peace or of justice or of love, but you realized that to take the next step toward that vision, you would have to make some sacrifices to do something difficult that you didn't really want to do. And imagine in a quiet, contemplative moment, you couldn't help but wonder if there was another way, if you really had to take that difficult step, You doubted your ability to carry on. If that happened to you, how do you think you would find the strength to continue? If you faced that moment of doubt, how do you think you would find the strength to keep walking toward your vision of love or justice or peace? A note of hope sustains us all. When, like Moses, the way before you is frightening, how can you find the courage to take the first step? A note of hope sustains us all. When, like Jesus, the way before you is filled with struggle, how can you find the strength to carry on? A note of hope sustains us all. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not planning to boil the stories of Passover and Easter down to a simple message of hope. Both of them are distinctive holidays with ages of religious tradition and theological meaning behind them that guides the faithful in their practice today. The offering of hope is just one little thing that they have in common, along with the fact that they're both spring holidays that usually fall right near one another on the calendar. But this year, they fall right at the same time. The Jewish Holy Week of Passover began on Friday night, intersecting with the Christian Holy Week leading from Palm Sunday to Easter. And this month, we're exploring the theme of revelation in our worship services. And so it seemed to us it would be inspiring to be able to hear stories of revelation from both of these traditions today. We heard stories of Moses' revelation from God, and we heard about the ways that the people, Moses' people that he led and the disciples that Jesus led, struggled to be faithful to those revelations. Moses struggled to find the courage to accept the call. Me? Are you sure? Isn't there someone else you can send? And Jesus struggled to continue to walk toward his destiny, even just for a moment. And their stories have so much to teach us. Whether or not you have ever had an experience in which you felt called by God, you have surely had and will likely continue to have experiences in which you felt called to be faithful to some revelation. Now, that word may sound to you like a distinctively religious word, and you might be thinking, no, not me. I haven't ever had a revelation. But a revelation just means a startling and powerful discovery. And if you think about it that way, I would bet all of you can say, sure, I've had a startling and powerful discovery. I've had some kind of revelation in my life. And revelation can come to us in a great many forms. We've started today with revelation from Scripture. And there are all kinds of sacred scriptures in the world. Each of the testaments of the Bible, the Hebrew Scriptures and the Christian Scriptures, both contain reports of revelations from God. And if you grew up Jewish or still feel rooted in that faith, particularly drawn to the teachings and wisdom of Judaism, you may feel called to be faithful to the revelations and commands articulated in that tradition. Take just Passover as an example. Passover is all about redemption and liberation. God redeemed the Hebrew people from suffering at the hands of the slave drivers in Egypt and led them from slavery to freedom. The annual celebration of Passover is about remembering that ancient story, being reminded of God's acts, and recommitting to do God's work in this world, to help find a way, however small, to end oppression wherever we find it in our world today. That means we have work to do. And that's a challenging thing to do. It takes courage to begin and courage to carry on, and hope is essential for sustaining the journey. If you grew up Christian and still feel rooted in that faith tradition, or feel particularly drawn to the teachings of Christianity, the wisdom of Christianity, you may feel called to be faithful to the revelation contained in that faith tradition. Take the teachings of Jesus as an example. Jesus was constantly defying people's expectations about how things were supposed to be and challenging them to embrace a deeper love, a wider justice, a more inclusive and expansive vision of beloved community, which he called the kingdom of God. So to follow Jesus is to follow those teachings. And that means working to make sure that everybody has enough to eat and that nobody is homeless and that everyone has access to health care and that prisoners are treated with compassion and that people who are suffering in mind or body or in spirit have access to whatever they need for health and healing. Finding a way to help make those things true in our world is what it means to follow Jesus. And that's a challenging thing to do. It takes strength to begin and strength to carry on, and hope is essential for the journey. Sacred scriptures contain revelations of God, and those who are faithful may pray to God for courage and strength and find in prayer and ritual and celebration like this renewed hope to remain awake and to keep following the call. These are important sources of revelation for people all around the world. But the thing that I want to say to you today is that they're not the only sources of revelation. Unitarian Universalism teaches us that revelation is not sealed. That means that even after all the sacred scriptures of the world were written down and bound into sacred books, revelation continued. Our cousins in the United Church of Christ say, God is still speaking. Have you heard that? So we can say that too. We can say God is still speaking, or if that language doesn't work for you, you can say life is still speaking, or love is still speaking, or the universe is still speaking. If we take the time to look and to listen, we stand to find that revelations abound in many places. We may discover revelations in all kinds of books. In scripture, certainly, of course, but also in books of poetry and fiction, in short stories and long essays, and even in science texts. The words of wise people from all kinds of disciplines can wake us up and reveal to us so much about ourselves and what it takes to live whole and healthy and peaceful lives in this world that we share. If we take the time to look and to listen, we may discover revelation in all kinds of relationships. In religious communities, sure, but also among our families and our friends and at the places that we volunteer and in workplaces and in groups of all kinds. The practices of wise and compassionate people, generous people from all walks of life can wake us up and reveal to us much about how we too can help create just and loving communities in which all people can thrive. If we take the time to look and to listen, we may discover revelation in all kinds of settings. In churches, sure, but also in meadows and on beaches and bike paths and backyards and in natural settings of all kinds. The glories of the earth and the creatures of the earth and the wonders and of the heavens and the majesty of the skies can wake us up and reveal to us much about this universe and how we can live gently so that the world may continue to offer sustenance and beauty and blessing to those who will come a long time after we are gone. If we take the time to look and to listen, we stand to discover that revelations abound. To be faithful to those discoveries, wherever we find them, there must be some action that follows. After all, when we wake up in the morning, we don't just stay in bed, right? We get up and we begin our day. We do something. And revelation is like that too. It asks us to do something. It issues a command or whispers an invitation, and it asks us to open our ears and open our eyes. And to be faithful, we must find a way to act in response, or a way to be in response, a way to live in this world in response. We must accept the invitation in order to see it through and find a way to begin and a way to carry on when the way gets difficult. That's how we fulfill the promise. So this morning, I'd like to invite you to consider how God, or life, or love, or the universe is speaking to you. Maybe through these stories that we heard today. Maybe your heart is rooted in Judaism or Christianity, and the stories you need to wrestle with are the ones that we heard. Or maybe the universe is trying to speak to you in another way. How are you taking the time to listen? Or if you've already heard and you already know what your revelation is, your vision of justice or love or peace or beloved community, you already know what it is and you've already been walking that path, what do you need to continue the journey? In a few moments, I'll invite the people seated in the ends of the pews in the center of the aisle to reach underneath and find a basket with slips of paper and some markers. And on the slips, you'll find a book to represent books of all kind, and a heart to represent relationships of all kind, and a flower to represent the glories of this universe, all of the kinds of glories of this universe. And so you can choose just one of those slips of paper that speaks to you today. A book for learning, a heart for relationships, or a flower for the universe. And next to the image, you'll find a blank space where you can write a few words. And you have two choices. If you'd like to contribute to a community collage, you can write a few words about how you're trying to listen for revelation in your life, how you're trying to open your ears and open your eyes, open your heart. And then during the offertory, we'll collect those slips of paper to make a little collage. Or if you already know what revelation your life is committed to, you can write a few words about that to share on the collage, or you can write a few words about the promise you want to make to yourself about how you'll sustain your journey on that slip of paper and take it with you when you leave as a reminder of your promise. It's your choice how you'd like to participate today. So if you haven't yet, I'd invite the person on the end to pick up those baskets and start passing them. And in the moments that follow, to consider these questions. How are you waking up? How are you listening for revelation? And if you've already listened and already heard and already know where your heart is promised, how are you being faithful to the call? Take a few moments to write those words.
And now the eyes of my
May the warm sun shine upon us. May the brightness of the grass fill us with exultation. May the sweet perfume of the spring flower scent the place where we stand. May the song of the birds bring music to our souls, and love, fresh and bright, renew our lives. Go in peace. Amen.